Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
He's gone from suck to blow.
What?
You know, Mike, it's really interesting because I'm feeling not only here locally, but nationally, expectations for the Denver Broncos are on the uptick. Like, people are kind of changing their expectations. And I don't know if this is so much based on the Broncos or is it based on the rest of the league, but NFL on NFL.com put out a deal yesterday, an article yesterday, five reasons the Broncos will go back to the playoffs. And I want to run these five reasons by you and see what you thought. One, Von Miller's still an elite player. Forget about only having 10 sacks last year. He's still one of the greatest defenders in the history of this league. And he is going to have a bounce-back season, even though he was really good last year. Number two, the draft choice of Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb opposite Von Miller, his versatility, the fact that he is a tater-top player. He can be used in any situation, and he can be used in multiple positions, is a great, great deal for the Broncos. Because he gives them that versatility, and he also can create confusion from protection based upon how do we designate him. Is he a linebacker? Is he a D-end? Is he a D-tackle? Where's he lined up? So those are two great benefits there. The third benefit, hey, don't forget about the rest of the draft class. They had a great draft class. Cortland Sutton, awesome. The Royce Freeman, the running backs, all those different guys, all the team captains, they definitely went out to get adults that happen to be good football players. Draft philosophy is great football players that happen to be athletes, not athletes that happen to be great football players. Number four on the list, Case Keenum, one QB. There is no controversy. You can develop an identity. I can't tell you how important that is. Having an offensive identity, you come out, there is no looking over the shoulder. You know exactly what's going on, and all 11 guys, all 11 starters get to develop continuity as opposed to playing, hey, today it's so-and-so, tomorrow it's so-and-so, and flipping around, having this kind of revolving department store door. And number five, sense of urgency. John Elway has established the urgency, has established the cultural change, has established all these things. All five things point to the Broncos being a playoff contender. I kind of like the reasoning. So, you know, I think like the rest of the nation, my expectations are starting to move forward a little bit, and I can't wait to see what happens in September. When this team puts its cleats on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
Well, here's what we know based on, and this is just fact, that based on the NFL playoffs every single year, what can you count on? That there are going to be, four in, four out, right? Four teams that missed the playoffs a year ago will make the playoffs, meaning four teams that made the playoffs will miss the playoffs. That's the beauty of the NFL playoffs. You have that kind of turnover every single year. And, you know, some years it's more than that. But let's just go on the assumption that four teams that missed the playoffs a year ago will make the playoffs this time around. So, you know, right away, some of the teams that jump to mind for me. You've got Seattle missed the playoffs. Arizona, San Francisco, Tampa, Green Bay, Detroit, Dallas, Washington, Chargers, Oakland, Houston, Colts, Miami, and Baltimore. I mean, these are a lot of teams. So do you feel comfortable in believing that of the four teams that missed the playoffs a year ago that will make the playoffs this time, out of all those teams that I gave you, that the Broncos could be one of those four? There's some pretty good teams out there that could be in line for a bounce back.
All right, so automatically, let me get my NFL page up because, you know, that would help me a lot. Okay, here we go. I'm up. All right, so the Packers missed the playoffs. Come on. Aaron Rodgers, he's going back to the playoffs, right? Wouldn't you think?
You got to think so, right?
Right. Okay. Seattle, they still have, like, there's controversy in Seattle. They lost a bunch of defensive players. They seem to have a rift going on there. They're very much like New England of the NFC. They do have an elite quarterback. Did they fix their offensive line woes? I think San Francisco is much better. I think the Rams are much better. Will the Arizona Cardinals be much better? There's legitimate concern for Seattle to not bounce back. I look at our own division. Who else did you have in there that you thought would be?
Hey, Chargers.
Chargers did not make the playoffs last year. But, you know, if they have a field goal kicker they can kick, they would have made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. What were they, 9-7 or something last year?
Houston looked like a playoff team until Deshaun Watson went down. He'll be back.
Right.
How does Indianapolis change if Andrew Luck comes back?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. Tennessee Titans seem to be a team that's poised to slip.
Yep.
New coaching staff. Their quarterback didn't play very well. There are definitely questions. I guess the big question marks for me are AFC West wise, is it just feels wide open. Like the Hunter Henry injury seems to hurt Los Angeles Chargers quite a bit. The Raiders, I mean, everybody's excited, you know, John Gruden's back, blah, blah, blah. Does that help? I know, but the Kansas City Chiefs, like I bumped into a Kansas City Chiefs fan that was so geeked that they're so sure about Patrick Mahomes. How can you be that sure about that kid? Like, they're sure, like, he's going to be, like, they just think he's a huge upgrade over Alex Smith. Like,
that last game of the season got a lot of people excited.
Right.
It was against a bad Broncos team.
That was done.
Playing out the string.
What numbers did he put up that last game of the season? Do you know that?
He went 22 of 35 for 284 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. He had a QBR of 58.2.
I know, and they were like...
In garbage time.
And he was in. We're acting like he was great. It was okay. I don't know, man.
I don't get it either. He might... I think the Chiefs are counting on the fact, Chief fan is counting on the fact that this guy is going to make an immediate Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson type of impact.
Yeah, I personally don't see it, but we'll see. I've been wrong before.
And again, have you seen their schedule to start the season?
Yeah.
We'll tell you about that. Also, it's an Is It Just Me Friday. Hot sports opinions you want to get off your chest. Anything and everything, hit us up, 303-713-1043. But yeah, let's debunk, I love that word, let's debunk a little bit of the myth surrounding the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs coming up next. Of course, don't forget, we got Question Mark coming up at 8 o'clock. Four Down Territory coming your way at 7:30. As we'll get to some of the things going on in the NFL. What's up with the Terrell Owens?
I know. It's crazy, right? Yeah. But here's something that I have to ask you. Because while you were doing your thing yesterday and you were doing the Corona, you know.
Fan Dream Job Edition.
It was
sports
great.
Column.
I was at home slaving, watching the Stanley Cup Finals and watching the internet broadcast of my son's game.
Sure.
So, it was a lot of work. Watching two things at once. But this just came across via ESPN Stats and Info. And so I just thought it was a great question. And it's pretty cool. So in honor of Alex Ovechkin, who won the Stanley Cup, won the Conn Smythe Trophy, there are 31 people in professional sports to win at least three MVPs and their respective sport, whatever that sport was, whether it's the NHL, the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And Ovechkin has now won a Stanley Cup, so he was a three-time MVP of the league, won a Stanley Cup, so he's one of those. There's only one of those 31 now left that has never won a championship. So only one of the 31 guys to have won three MVPs in their respective sport, only one hasn't won a championship. Who is that particular guy?
Mm. I'm going to say it's somebody from baseball.
You would be correct.
Okay.
You
just
would be correct.
I think I've got on my side, sports been around for over 100 years. You had some great players who just, right. Just were not, like,
so guys, I don't know
like a guy like Ted Williams.
Right.
I'm going to say Ted Williams.
No, apparently Ted Williams was not a three-time MVP.
All right, well then,
so like
baseball, stupid,
right? Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, Marino wasn't a three-time MVP of the league.
No. If you were that multiple in the NFL, you would have won a Super Bowl. Same thing in hockey. No, I think it's baseball. So I'm going to say it's a guy like it's not Ted Williams.
No, it's not Ted Williams.
Frank Robinson.
No, it's not Frank Robinson.
Is it somebody, an older?
It's more recent.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes.
Recent three-time MVP in baseball who hasn't won a World Series. Trout?
No. One of the, I'll give you a hint, one of the most controversial guys, one of those was considered the best baseball player in the business, and then
A-Rod?
Nope, and then got himself into
A-Rod won one.
Yeah, he won a world championship with the Yankees. Nope, not Harper.
Bryce Harper hasn't done it. No, but not Bonds. Bonds won.
Barry Bonds.
Wait a minute.
Barry Bonds did.
Bonds didn't. No, you're right. The Angels beat him in that series. That's right. Barry Bonds. Oh, that's actually, you know what that is? That's karma, my friend.
Right?
That's fitting. That is, yes. So the only professional athlete.
31 three-time MVPs of their respective league. He is the only one.
Oh, that's so good.
That has not won world championship.
It was him
and Ovechkin going into last night.
Is now that just not him. The perfect example of karma? I mean, when you think about, let's face it, I mean, you think about the steroid era in baseball, he's the poster child.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's arguably the biggest cheater in the history of sports. And the sports gods have decreed that you are going to be the one.
The thing that's crazy about that is he was, in his Pittsburgh days, considered, I mean, he won, what, two MVPs when he was with Pittsburgh? I believe two of his MVPs were with Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, he was on the fast track. He was going to be a Hall of Famer. He never needed to do it.
No.
But he got jealous of McGuire and Sosa.
Yeah, he got jealous of them and jealous of the money when a guy like Brady Anderson comes out and hits 50 and then he gets paid more than you. And he got, and I understand it. I mean, I understand the jealousy and I understand, you want to get your props, so to speak, and you want to get it paid. But he's the only guy of the 31 guys that does not have a world championship.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is justice right there. Fantastic. And by the way, with it fresh in our mind, Ovechkin now winning a Stanley Cup, and seeing his reaction yesterday, which was equal parts joy, disbelief, and relief, don't you understand now why people like me have for years been driving home the fact that if you can't be considered an all-time great unless you've won a championship maybe it's unfair, but it is the ultimate tiebreaker. And a guy like Ovechkin was not going to go down as one of the all-time greatest hockey players of all time. He would have been left out of the conversations the years went on had he not won a cup. And now that he has won a cup, tell me that you don't look at him differently. Tell me that there's just not a different feel about him now.
It's funny. So I was up a little earlier than normal day. I was up at 4, and I was just kind of reading some of the stories of Ovechkin. And one of the first articles I read is the "yeah, but" has now been removed from his name.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 100% right. And I told you this at the start of this series. This could be an Elway-esque
kind of story for Ovechkin. It reminds me, and I said I was rooting for the Capitals because of Ovechkin, and it's kind of Elway-esque, a guy that had gone to great, he just soared to the greatest heights of his sport, and he had drug his teams deep into, you know, playoff contention and never had any real playoff success, so to speak. And then all of a sudden, late in his career, it's almost this redemption story, removing the yeah, but from your name. It's kind of Steve Young, get the monkey off your back situation in San Francisco. And it was just, he was overwhelmed with emotion when that final second ticked off the clock. And it was cool to, for me, it was just really cool to witness. It was like, wow, that, good for him, man. That's
it was
awesome.
It was cool. I haven't seen that unadulterated show of emotion, honestly, since Bork lifted the cup.
Mm.
And again, it's that equal parts
right
of joy, but almost just relief. Like, right. I got it. Finally.
You know what? You want to see that kind of emotion? You should go to the next release of any Disney film. Like, with me, like, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
I'll just be sobbing. Just sobbing.
Sobbing.
I mean, the release of emotion.
Oh, my God. When Frozen 2 comes out.
Oh, my gosh. I'll be like, can't the two sisters just get along?
What message is Terrell Owens sending by saying that he will not attend his Hall of Fame celebration? That's coming up in Four Down Territory next.
Be quiet. I'm answering the question.
This is Four Down Territory.
Let's talk football.
Personal foul, 69. Offense. He was giving them the business.
That guy's pretty good. If you like 6'5", 230-pound quarterbacks, laser, rocket arms.
It's my quarterback. And if you guys do that, man, it's unfair.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Chicken parm, you taste so good.
Ready, bread! First down.
You know, I got a lot of things to brush up on, but I was pleased with what I've done so far. I just got to go back to work now, clean up the little things, and just get back in the playbook and do things right. You know, you can't ever have a lot of miscues. You got to go in there and be perfect. So that's what I want to try to do.
That's Philip Lindsay earlier this week at Broncos OTA. And watching the one practice that we were able to watch the other day, I was taking in the running backs and you saw guys getting multiple reps. You saw Booker. You saw Freeman. You saw Lindsay. D'Angelo Henderson actually was getting a day off that day.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that struck me is it's a young group. Now, I guess when you're talking about the running back life expectancy, it's so short. You want to have young legs at that position. But what are the disadvantages to being so young at that running back position?
Well, the biggest disadvantage is just in protections, in changing protections, in searching from, you know, from player one to player two, picking up those blitzes, understanding how to stymie a pass rushing linebacker or safety. As a young player, that's always the hardest thing to understand and the hardest thing to pick up, which is another reason it's important to have a veteran quarterback to point you in the right direction, to get you in the right place. If you redirect the protection and you're on the wrong side, you can say, hey, scoot over. You're on the other side. Get over there, you know. So but that's the hardest part, Mike, because I think when it comes down to it, you run with your vision. And it's really good if you understand the schemes. You've got to, you know, to be an elite guy, you have to understand the schemes. But eventually you just let athleticism and vision take over and feel for the game. But it's the protection stuff that for a lot of guys is unnatural.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Shotgun snap for Brady. Retreats in the pocket. Tom moves up the middle. Throws across the middle. Touchdown, Edelman. And the Patriots strike back.
Patriots radio. Julian Edelman suspended for the first four games of the season for violating the NFL's PED policy.
Mm.
Now, he has not been quoted with a statement since this went down, although a source close to him said that he has literally taken hundreds of tests and has not tested positive before. Now, Richard Sherman had a suspension overturned for, I think it was Adderall?
Yeah.
Hey, he's not the first guy that's been popped for one of this that says, I'm shocked, stunned.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how this got into my system.
Right.
If we're talking about Julian Edelman, do you believe him?
Do I believe him? No, I don't believe any athlete that gets popped. Guys will go to extremes to try to get an advantage, especially when you're coming off an injury. And, you know, whether it's, you know, like what was going on in Seattle with this, the Seattle Seahawks, you know, abusing that drug. And that's a drug that's been abused, you know, over time. Because it helps, apparently it really helps you focus and, you know, and lock in. So guys have used that, or whether it's, but all these things are illegal, you know.
So do these guys do it in the case of Edelman? Because I see where you're going. Here's a guy, what, 30-year-old
sure.
receiver who, you know, it's not like he's blessed with exceptional quickness anyway. I mean, he's coming off a torn ACL. Does he know, is he doing this knowing, suspecting strongly that he probably will get caught? But 4 games in the overall scheme of things, is worth it to be able to come back from this?
No, I don't think you're going to get caught. I think you get...
How can you think you're not going to get caught?
Well, because I think a lot of guys with the PEDs, a lot of guys, there's enough science behind it where the cheaters can stay ahead of the tests. But, you know, it just comes down to... what dosage you're getting, if you take it wrong or if you take it at the wrong time. Like I could get into, because I know a lot of guys who are chemists essentially, and I've had these conversations with friends of mine that really understand the game, and guys that are brilliant that have gotten popped. And it really comes down to, you know, you're an hour late with what you take. You're 20 minutes late with when you take something and how it can stay in your system and you can trigger a test as opposed to passing a test. So it has become a very scientific thing. We can talk about it later if you want, but I can give you kind of how some of the stuff goes down with the PEDs now. I don't believe anybody that says, you know, I have no idea how this got in my system, because I think they're lying.
Next in 4 down territory.
Third down.
It's like the Hall of Shame.
It's the Hall of Shame. You've been snubbed a couple of times. It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
I'm still smiling, aren't I?
Terrell Owens finally got into the Hall of Fame. Took a while. Took longer than he thought. Burned a lot of bridges along the way. But he got in.
All right.
But now that he's getting in, he says he's not going to attend the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. He's already being ripped by fellow players like Chris Carter, who says, come on. You got to be there. What do you think his reasoning is? What do you think the motivation is behind him, at least to this point, skipping?
You know, I mean, on the surface, you would think it's because he's a selfish turd, and he was mad that he didn't get in as a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it took him 2 years to get in. And so I think that's the easy. I think it's easy to point to that and say, well, this is pretty typical of his career.
Yeah,
it was
but
always
if you
about
got a,
him.
If you got a beef with people. Use the 40 minutes you can stand up there and talk and rip all of them.
Right. I think that's the easy way out. You know, I read an interesting article. I think it was on Pro Football Talk. It talked about the expenses. You know, Terrell Owens ran out of money. And the expense of flying your family and your friends and all that stuff. But historically, you have these huge parties, right? After the ceremony, you go to the huge party. Historically, it's been the teams that have fronted that bill. And they're saying that he's burned every team bridge that he ever played on. No team is stepping up to offer to pay for the party.
Interesting.
That's karma with Barry Bonds. So could it be that he's like, I don't have the money to do this on my own, and you know what? And none of these teams are stepping up to pay for my induction ceremony and to pay all the travel expenses and to pay for the party. You know, because that's probably when it all comes said and done. I mean, it's got to be a couple $100,000. Those parties, Mike, was at Terrell's last year. Those parties are something with the food.
Okay, but who says you have to throw a party? Nobody's saying you have to. Throw a party. Yeah, it's still the culmination of everything. I think what it is this guy loves the attention, craves attention, misses attention, and this is a way for a bunch of people to come out and say, "Oh, come on, T.O., you gotta go, you right. gotta do it." I think this is nothing more than an attention grab. This is just him looking to drain the spotlight a little bit more.
It may be.
He'll be there.
It may be. Who knows?
There's no way he's going to sit this out.
Me personally, because I've been really a proponent of Jerry Kramer and have worked with Jerry's daughter to get Jerry Kramer in the Hall of Famer, former University of Idaho great, Packer great. And so, you know, he deserves it. Should have been in a long time ago, but he's going in, and I'm really excited for him. But here's the deal: I've been to a lot of these things, and the speech is just drone on forever, just forever. And I'm like, selfishly, one less speech to have to listen to. I'm okay.
Yeah, okay. TOs might be kind of entertaining to listen to.
Oh my god, yeah, maybe.
Come on. You should be able to appreciate that from one show pony to another.
Yeah, it's...
Yours, if you ever went into the Hall of Fame, God, that'd be... your speech...
That would be incredible, wouldn't it?
You'd be up there for 2 days.
No. You know what? I'd make it short and sweet.
No, you wouldn't. You couldn't.
Of course I could.
No, you couldn't.
Of course I could.
No way!
Of course I could.
People, help me out.
Short, concise.
Odds at Mark Schlereth. I'm going
to
set the over under at 10 minutes.
What?
If you had a Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, they're all 30 or 40
you're right.
Minutes.
No, you're right. I got to give you a little bit more wiggle room. All right. All right.
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Could I get under that and be
no
epic?
No way.
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely.
Nope. Third and long, we're going to punt.
Bring in the king. Punt isn't just as important as other positions. The king is here.
Thank you, king.
All right, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Rockies and Bronco insider. He'll join us coming up next. Let's welcome and always enjoy our time spent with our Denver 7 Bronco and Rocky insider, the one and only Troy Rank. Morning, Troy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not a whole lot. You know, I want to ask you this right off the bat because there was this article, I guess it was posted on NFL.com, 5 reasons the Broncos were going to make the playoffs, and they talked about Von Miller and the addition of Bradley Chubb and all the draft choices and how good the draft was, and they were going to be production, or they're going to produce. The fact that there was one quarterback, so you're going to have an offensive identity, and then just the sense of urgency with the Broncos. You hear those 5 factors. Is there anything that jumps out on you that says this factor is the number one reason the Broncos will win a lot more games and be a playoff-type contending team?
Well, if they're going to get back to the playoffs, it starts at quarterback. I mean, they've had the worst quarterback play outside of the Browns the last 2 years. So if the number one reason to rebound would be that Case Keenum plays like he did last year or something close to that, takes care of the ball, takes big plays when they're there. You know, again, if he's a guy that can get you 25 touchdowns, 10 picks, that type of season, then yeah. I mean, the West is a little more open. I think the Chargers are the team to beat. Chiefs, they deserve all the respect, but they've come back to the pack a little bit, losing a couple of their best players, including Marcus Peters. So that's the one thing. I mean, the defense will be good. Can it be great? I got to see. I love the addition of Chubb in terms of what can it do for the pass rush and helping Von Miller. But if they don't play better from the quarterback position, it doesn't matter. And I will second that with Mark, something you know, they got to run the football. And they got to run the football when they want to, not when they need to. And if they're able to establish a physical identity, Case Keenum's shown he can be a really good quarterback.
All right, let's talk about these running backs because we heard from them yesterday, Royce Freeman, Phillip Lindsay, Devontae Booker. It's a young group. Add D'Angelo Henderson into that mix. If you had to sit here right now and handicap how these backs are used, how would you do so?
Well, Booker's got the slight edge because he's a veteran. And I got to see Royce Freeman in pass protection you know, some of the assignment stuff that as a fan and a fantasy league player, people don't care about, but it gets you on the field. You know, how is he on assignment football? How is he in the room, in the meeting room? You know, and if Freeman, by all accounts, is good at that, but we got to see it at the pro level. I would give Booker a slight edge, but, you know, would I be shocked if Freeman's starting on day one? I would not. I would not. And he's going to have a big training camp to do that. They're not going to just hand him the job, but could I see Freeman starting, Booker being a complimentary player, and then Lindsey a scat back? Yeah, I could. Again, I don't want to jump in. Some of these guys, you just don't know how it's going to translate to the NFL game. Phillip Lindsey, for me, is an NFL player, whether it's a reserve back or a special teams guy who just plays. He fits the mold of a guy you want on your team as an extra player. But I would not sleep on Freeman. I would not be surprised if he starts, but I got to see it on the field. Us saying he's going to figure all this stuff out is a little premature, but I like what I've seen in OTAs from Freeman.
Yeah, what have you seen? Give me what you've seen so far, like point by point, just with Freeman and then with Phillip Lindsey, because a lot of people here in Denver, obviously the CU connection, but a lot of people just really have a good kind of sense or a good feeling. They haven't even seen Phillip Lindsey. You've seen him, but nobody has, but there's this great sense that he's going to make this team.
Well, let's start with Lindsey. The reason I like Lindsey is take the running back thing out of it. He's a versatile player who can be on coverage, return teams, and he might even be involved in the punt return mix. I don't know that, but he's certainly made it clear he's a candidate for that. And that's why I say he can make the team based on what I saw last year from their special teams, which they lacked urgency, they lacked athleticism, they lacked hunger at times. What better guy to add to that mix than a guy like Lindsey, who plays, you know, not with the chip on his shoulder, he's got the whole bag of Doritos. I mean, that's the guy I want as an extra player, if that's his role initially. As a running back, he's slippery. Can he be a between-the-tackles type guy in the NFL? I don't know that. I mean, again, I don't know. I know he's tough, and he doesn't back down. He doesn't get to the line of scrimmage and dance. He's not afraid of contact, so those are things I like. Freeman just looks older, like he plays older. He's physical. He's built like C.J. Anderson. He's a propane tank with legs. So he fits that prototype of, you know, to get a broken tackle at the line of scrimmage. And that's what basically Booker has to prove. Booker, at times, is playing faster than any of them. But until Booker proves to me he can break tackles at the line of scrimmage, I don't know that he can start. Can he still be on your team? Yes. But you can't be a starting running back averaging 3.6 yards per carry. So I want to see that from Booker. Maybe with better knowledge of the offense and where he wants to cut, he's able to get through some tackles. But Freeman plays older than his, and not certainly his age, but he reminds you of a little quicker version of C.J. Anderson right now. We'll see how that looks in camp.
Visit with Troy Rank, our Broncos and Rockies insider. Okay, talk me down off the ledge if you can when it comes to this Rockies bullpen, because while I'm not pushing the panic button, I definitely want to make sure it's close by, just in case. So what do they do?
Well, again, for me, the answers are internal. They're going to have to take guys who are existing on the team and move them into the pen, and that initially it could be Senzatella. They're not going to go out and pay another reliever right now. If you go out and trade for a reliever right now, the acquisition price is enormous because every team needs relievers. I mean, so you'd have to overpay, and if you're going to overpay for that, I'd rather overpay for a bat. But you have, for me, it's reconfiguring your internal options. Senzatella, is he going to be a guy that could be a seventh inning guy to settle it? And then so you have him, and then Ottavino comes back, and you have Lucas. And Shaw showed some signs last night, but, you know, we got to see it. But Dunn and Shaw, they've struggled. There's no way around that. They need one of them to get going. But I would look to move Senzatella to the pen. And at some point down the road, they're going to have to look at John Gray closely and decide, would he be better off as a late-inning reliever? And I don't know that that's this year, but if he doesn't develop a third pitch, he's pitched his career numbers. If you look at him, he's pitched like a fourth, fifth starter. So at some point, if he doesn't turn the corner, you got to look at him in a late inning role because he could come in, throw 100, and use a slider. Maybe I'm not saying right away, but I'd file that away. But Senzatella for me needs to be in their pen.
See, now that's interesting. That because he was warming up the other day to come out of the pen.
He wasn't told that he was available. He just was told to go out there. When's the last time you had an ace in name only, but say, hey, yeah, hey, go get in the pen. And it didn't come from the ace saying, hey, it's a pen day for me. I'll just do it at the end of the game so I'm available. it's very rare that a guy's told as a starter just to go to the pen.
Right.
And that's unusual. So I'm just saying file it away. I'm not saying it's there yet, but his stuff profiles as a late inning guy better right now than it does as a starter.
I 100% agree with you, and I am you know, I come from a football mindset, so I have officially pushed the panic button, Troy. Thanks, man. We appreciate you, buddy.
See ya.
All right, there he is. Troy Rank, brought to you by Trinity Law. Have you or someone you know been charged with a DUI? Call for a free consultation, 303-333-1816 or TRANILaw.com. Wow, would that be a stunning fall from grace? That after all that debating back and forth about John Gray, is he an ace or not, that the Rockies decide not only is he not an ace, he's not even a starter.
That is kind of, you know, sad music. But I will tell you this. Think about it. Do you have somebody in double or triple A that is ready to be a starter on your roster where you could push John Gray into the bullpen? Because not only that, you're going to unleash it. Now instead of, you know, 95, 97 consistently, like, you're going to be hitting triple digits out of the pen with your slider. If you've got, you know, you've got a plus-plus fastball and you've got a decent enough slider in the pen, man, that can be a really effective, you know, tool. And then, you know, if you send somebody down or you just outright, you know, options, I mean, designate somebody, I'm willing to lose them.
This is a guy, come on, you can't, if you're going to be the Rockies and you're going to be all about draft and develop,
mm-hmm.
and no, we're not going to give up our precious prospects for a Jose Abreu, you know, we're not going to give up our precious prospects for a Joey Votto and take care of the obvious need at first base, you know, we're not going to get in and throw a bunch of our vaunted prospects for Chris Archer from Tampa Bay if he becomes available,
right.
Then you can't miss. You can't miss on a guy that was top six draft pick and concede after years of trying to develop him as an ace, your presumed ace, that, nope, never could develop another pitch, so we got to move him to the bullpen. That's a miss. You can't have misses like
that.
Sure,
but if you do it for the second half of the season and say we're going to go back to being a starter next year, I mean, it's happened. I can't come up with any off the top of my head, but I'm sure that it's happened before where a starter pitcher's gone to the bullpen for a while and come back and been a starter again. I'm sure that somebody can, you know, give us a guy that's gone through that scenario, but he could be a really effective, like if Ottavino comes back healthy and does what he did in the beginning of the season, you've got Wade Davis. Like, you could have 7, 8, and 9 just completely locked down.
You being the dad of a son that has been in the majors and is back on his way to being in the majors, I as an observer, as a fan, are like, wait a minute, if you are blessed with that kind of an arm, like John Gray is,
mm-hmm.
why in the world can't you develop another pitch?
It's mind-boggling.
Why?
I think it's such a feel thing, Mike, and you know, really interesting. So when my son was with it was last summer, he was with the Cardinals for a while, then they cut him and then he went to Miami. But he was with was it Bard, who's a former...
Oh, yeah.
He's just got unbelievable stuff.
Was a lights-out reliever.
Right.
Then the Red Sox tried to make him a starter, right. And it was a disaster.
Right.
He got the yips, and he never got it back. He's out of baseball.
Right. So he was with Daniel at the Cardinals. They were trying to revive his career. And Dan said he's just never seen arm action like that. He's just like, oh, my God. Like, he just can stand flat-footed playing catch at 96. Like, it's just his arm just is ridiculous. He doesn't know where it's going, but, like, he can just, like, let it loose. His arm has just has so much arm talent. But Daniel Bard said to my Daniel, he goes, the two best curveball throwers I've ever seen in my time in the big leagues both guys from Colorado. My son and Mark Melanson.
Hmm.
And so they were talking about it. I said, what is it about you guys? He goes, you learn, Daniel was like, I guess you learn when you grow up in thin air how to really snap a curveball. And it's like you have to, I mean, it's almost like snapping your fingers. You got to snap the damn thing here to make it dance. And he's like, I don't think you grow up anywhere else and you don't have that same action because you don't have to have that same action. And he goes, and that's why, he goes, I guess that's why you probably, the two best curveball guys you've ever seen grew up in Colorado. It just was kind of an interesting, by the way, they were roommates at University of Arizona together, and Mark Melanson and Daniel played summer baseball together here in Colorado on some travel teams. So really cool, but, you know, that's probably part of it. But I think that's a feel, I think it's a feel thing. And I think the other thing is when you grow up with that kind of arm talent, a lot of guys never have to develop that feel because they just blow people away with fastball. And now all of a sudden you get to this level and you've got to have a second or third pitch.